Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:38, and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today being Monday, it's May 2nd, and a holiday in the UK. So perhaps interesting then to begin to talk about the currency markets, because London is by far the largest market for currencies, and a lot of people would have been away from their desks today, but there was quite a bit of action in the currency markets, and particularly when you look at the dollar, where the euro is now trading above $1.15, and that's a new closing high for the euro. So if we see additional follow through over the rest of the week, well, then that would constitute a breakout for the euro. Then you look at that the other way around, the dollar index is trading at the lower side of its range and testing that spike low that we saw back in August. So if the dollar is going to rally, then it's going to have to do so in a rather dynamic fashion to really begin to question any change to what has been a pretty weak period for the dollar overall. Then the euro is the pound is up to 146.73, so that's also on a recovery trajectory, and the pound has been one of the weakest currencies around, and particularly in the G7 region. This is quite a bit of short covering going on for cable right now. And of course the yen is the yen was probably the currency that moved less, or least today, but it has been very weak, and not least because the Bank of Japan last week disappointed investors, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that they weren't going to add additional stimulus. They were going to concentrate on their negative interest rate policy. And what we now see is that there hasn't been any change to that just yet. It doesn't mean that they can't change it at any point if they decide it's necessary, but the progression of lower rally highs evident on dollar yen has been in evidence for over a year. It's really quite consistent. There is a short term oversold condition, so there is potential for some steadying here, but that progression of lower rally highs would absolutely need to be broken before one could really suggest that there's any real evidence that the dollar is going to strengthen additionally from here. Now, against that background, and we know that a lot of people were away from their desks in London today, then tomorrow, and what happens tomorrow, will probably give us a better indication of exactly what it is that's going on. But what is quite interesting, and it's something that I wanted to highlight in Comment of the Day today, so I'm going to post three different charts. I haven't posted Comment of the Day just yet, but when you look at the emerging markets, MSCI emerging markets, it's the Wisdom Tree Emerging Currencies ETF and the Asia Dollar Index. Well, then you're presented with three different charts, two of them currency charts. One of those currency ETF is really quite well diversified, and the Asia Dollar Index is obviously heavily weighted by China, and many of the same currencies that represent heavy weights in the MSCI Emerging Markets Index, but they have very strong commonality, and it helps to bring home the point that emerging market currencies generally have been trending lower for nearly 5 years. So this isn't a new story. This is something that's been going on since 2011, and we're now nearly halfway through 2016. So a lot of the bad news has already been priced in. There's a lot of the inflation, the uncompetitive situation that would have developed in a lot of those countries because of high commodity prices and because of the major bull market that we had from the early 2000s has now been unwound. And it is really only that the big question is, are these lows going to hold for these currencies? And it's really looking increasingly likely that that is the case, that you've had accelerating downtrends in a number of these markets, and most of them hit nadirs at the end of last year. So there is the potential here that this could be the year for emerging markets over developed markets. And when you begin to look around, then That's perhaps not the most bold of forecasts. The S&P and the Dow Jones are pretty much unchanged on the year, and the Brazilian index is up 40% in dollar terms, and in local currency terms, it's actually only up 23%. So I mean that's been a significant rally in the real, and you get a pretty similar story when you start looking at a number of the other emerging market currencies. And we can see then that the attitudes towards emerging markets have been pretty dire for the last couple of years. But that is changing rapidly now, with those currencies beginning to find support. And they've now rallied enough, and enough of them have broken back above their respective 200-day moving averages, that we can start to talk about this being a recovery trajectory rather than simply short covering. And then we will have absolute confirmation of that when we get the first big pullback, and we haven't had that yet. And of course, prices can go up before they come down. It is looking increasingly likely that the low is in for emerging markets. And if the dollar is going to get progressively weaker, and I think that it is oversold in the short term, so it wouldn't be at all surprising if we see at least some steadying coming in the not too distant future. But this is still a very volatile environment, and we could have some additional weakness over the next while. That's generally positive for commodity prices, and gold broke out to new highs on Friday, or new recovery highs on Friday, and it was only down a tad in here today, but it did get up to $1,300. And there is a short-term overbought condition for the precious metals, but this continues to look like what, particularly for gold, was a very orderly consolidation of its initial breakout. And you would need a very large downward dynamic to really even begin to question that this isn't a recovery trajectory. And by and large, that should be very positive for the precious metal mining sector. And it isn't, of course, just gold that is doing this, but also that a number of the industrial metals have firmed up fairly substantially. And then the mining complex is continuing to do well in here. Well, if we just take a look at what's happening in stock markets, then the Nikkei was down 3% today. The Chinese markets are closed for the May holiday, and so is the UK. The majority of Europe was open, and it was a pretty mixed performance, but nothing up or down more than 1%. And on Wall Street, the Dow was up about 0.2%, and the S&P up about 0.8%, and the same for the NASDAQ. But considering that last week was, could have been characterized by a corrective phase, then there is potential for some steadying here. But really, what happens tomorrow will probably give us a better idea that, for example, the S&P is the low around 2050, and the progression of higher reaction lows that's been evident since January is going to hold. And so we're certainly not out of the woods just yet, but the NASDAQ has broken its progression of higher reaction lows, and today there was some steadying, and it needs to do more than that. So this is still a risky environment. This is still an environment where we've seen a rotation out of anything that was did particularly well last year, or anything that was way overextended relative to the trend mean, but that people have been willing to buy bargains. And particularly in instruments where you've had very large pullbacks and valuations have improved, then people have been willing to step in. And generally speaking, that's supportive of a range-bound environment. If people weren't willing to support even things that had pulled back sharply, well, then that would be much more evident of a big corrective environment. But when things pull back and people are willing to step in, well, that should help to support prices. So a range-bound environment overall remains our base case. And when we look at the government bond markets, I'm going to post an article today discussing real rates, and you know, because we still have very low interest rates, then people are beginning to look more at the longer end of the curve, and the 10-year was bouncing today from 1.8%, and it's at 1.87 right now, and that could potentially be another higher reaction low. And 10-year yields have held that progression since early January, and when you realistically look at the possibility, then it's really quite unlikely that we're going to see yields get very much lower than 1.6%, and not least because the Fed is really only looking for an excuse to raise rates, but they're going to be incredibly cautious, and they're not going to do so without plenty of evidence to support that that claim, because to do anything other than that would be dangerous to one's career prospects. You simply can't make decisions without having some evidence to back it up, and that means that they're always going to be behind the curve. They're always going to act until they have plenty of evidence. So, and that really means you can't look to the central bank to lead. What we have to look at is where we are in the cycle, and where we are in the cycle is that valuations have increased, and we're now starting to see commodity prices starting to do better, and the commodity sector is generally on recovery trajectories, and that is usually coincident with the mature phase of a medium-term bull market. And considering that the prices have been going up for 7 years already, then I don't think anyone's going to be overly surprised by that conclusion. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.